Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reveal why spiritual revival is needed today and how God brought the great revivals of the past without the aid of our modern communication.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. We've got Billy Brim back with us today, so you don't want to miss this. Just put everything down. Let her have your attention because she is sharing some wonderful things with us this week. Billy, welcome.
Thank you very
much.
We're
all ears.
Well, I'm just very, very thankful, Gloria, especially when we consider today George Whitfield's life and what he gave to bring God's power and anointing throughout all those 13 colonies with just his horse to ride and his...
Think about that.
And the anointing of God. I'm just thankful that we have today this television. Oh. I was thinking about it. I'm thankful to you for offering me an opportunity to be here. And I'm thankful that you believed God for prosperity.
Yes.
So that you could pay the bills to get this out. Because I believe that every bit as important as the Great Awakening was in the birth of America, another Great Awakening is coming that will save America.
I believe it.
In this last hour, from being a goat nation, from being subject to judgments. And we talked about that, and this began in me in June 2008. We were having prayer at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We were praying about the upcoming election, praying for our country, praying for Israel, praying for the nations. And the Lord just put such a heavy anointing on us and gave us this word. There is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations, an awakening to God.
Yeah, that's right.
He is our ever-present help. Hallelujah. And he alone. And so we were led to consider the part of prayer in every great awakening that happened and to study the awakenings. Now, America was born and shaped in its beginning in the Great Awakening. Hallelujah. And we're reading about that right now. We've been studying the people God used. First, there was the man Jonathan Edwards. There was the man Tennant. And then there came George Whitfield. And George Whitfield was the young man that God used to spread this throughout the colonies and unite them. Even we read to you, secular universities, secular historians recognize that you cannot study the beginnings of America and understand what was happening socially and politically without studying the Great Awakening. And so now we are to Whitfield. Whitfield, George Whitfield, was a young man closely associated with, and we didn't go into the Wesleys, we didn't really have time, but closely associated with the Wesleys. And actually, what began in George Whitfield that brought all these many people to the Lord through the Great Awakening, the Wesley's churches were established throughout America and many other churches and universities. So they had their part to play. We just didn't have time to go into it. But reading here about George Whitfield, everywhere he went, revival accompanied him. And I'm reading from The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall, you know, is the son of the great Peter Marshall that A Man Called Peter was written about. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in the Senate. And also Emmanuel wrote this book. And they're coming out with a new version, Peter Marshall told me. So everywhere he went, revival accompanied him. And of course, they're going to be writing from a Christian point of view. And those who had been bearing the light before him and before he arrived unanimously greeted him as an answer to prayer. Jonathan Edwards offered him his pulpit, and he was moved to tears by his preaching. William Tennant saw Whitfield as the prophet who would fan the embers which he had lit so many years before. The first night in Philadelphia, Whitfield preached from the courthouse steps with William Tennant standing by his side. The streets were jammed, but the people stood perfectly clear. And we said this yesterday. Now, God used him to unite. People were divided into their, own denominations. Father Abraham, cried Whitfield, whom have you in heaven? Any Episcopalians? No. Any Presbyterians? No. any independents or seceders, new sides or old sides, any Methodists. Those were names of those days. Mm-hmm. No, whom do you have there? We don't know those names here, Father Abraham answered. All who are here are Christians, believers in Christ, men who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Oh, is that the case? Then God help me. God help us all to forget and to become Christians in deed and in truth. So he reached across those lines and That's brought right. people to unity. He also, they were divided into the Virginians.
Yeah.
Robert E. Lee considered fighting in the Civil War for the Union, but he put being a Virginian first, you know. So they were the Virginians. They were the Massachusetts Bay Colony. But he reached all across those. God used him in a phenomenal way we'll read about today to draw them all together.
All the divisions.
Whitfield met another man in Philadelphia who was not a man of God. In fact, he was a confirmed agnostic. However, Benjamin Franklin became Whitfield's fast friend. Then in his 30s, Benjamin Franklin, writer and publisher of Poor Richard's Almanac, was astonished by the extraordinary influence of Whitfield's oratory on his hearers. Now I'm going to read you something that Franklin wrote about him. Wherever Whitfield went, he raised money for an orphanage that he was building in Georgia. And Franklin was listening to it, and he knew that his friend would ask for an offering for his orphanage. Franklin wrote, I silently resolved he should get nothing from me. I had in my pocket a handful of copper money, 3 or 4 silver dollars, and 5 pistols of gold.
He was loaded for
yes.
those days.
As he proceeded, I began to soften and concluded to give him the copper. Another stroke of his oratory determined me to give the silver. And he finished off so admirably that I emptied my pockets wholly into the collector's dish, gold and all.
Praise God. That's good, Billy.
Franklin was so amazed at his oratory. He was the first truly scientific observer of lightning. And he listened to Christ's 25-year-old lightning rod preaching from the courthouse steps. He was amazed at the carrying power of his voice. He's scientifically minded. He traced his steps back down Market Street until he could at last no longer hear Whitfield. The amazed Franklin computed that in an open space, Whitfield's words could be heard by 30,000 people. God used it in that day. Today, how many are hearing our words, Gloria?
Oh,
bless the Lord. On more than one occasion, when he came unexpectedly to a town, there was an astonishing turnout. For example, there was a time he felt God wanted him to change his itinerary at the last minute and preach in Middletown, Connecticut. The moment they knew he was coming, riders galloped down all the roads ahead of him, spreading the word that the man who had preached in Philadelphia like one of the apostles would soon be preaching in front of the meeting house. Farmers dropped their hoes and left their plows, grabbed their wives and mounted their horses. One observer described a sound like distant thunder, and he saw a great cloud rising along the road. Everyone was riding as fast as he could down the dirt road to Middletown.
Wish somebody a reality movie.
Whoa, wouldn't
that
be good?
Wouldn't that be super?
A cloud of dust, all the people running there
to
be awakened.
I can just picture it.
When Whitfield arrived, several thousand horses had been tethered in long lines at the back of a vast crowd of dust-covered farmers. It looked as if an entire cavalry division had dismounted and was awaiting him. And he had changed his itinerary at the last minute before God told him to go there. So God stirred up the people to be ready.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
That is so exciting.
Whitfield himself wrote concerning Boston. Boston is a large populous place and very wealthy. It has the form of religion kept up, but it's lost much of its power. I have not heard of any remarkable stir for years. Ministers and people are obliged to confess that the love of many is wax cold. Both seem to conform to the world. I fear many rest in head knowledge, are close Pharisees, and have only a name to live. It must needs be so when the power of godliness is dwindled away, where the form only of religion has become fashionable amongst the people. Whitfield laid the blame squarely on the clergy. I am persuaded that the generality of preachers talk of an unknown and unfelt Christ. The reason why congregations have been so dead is because they had dead men preaching to them. How can dead men beget living children?
That's the truth.
Ministers went to his meeting and felt that they heard God himself in what he said. And no less than 20 ministers in Boston alone openly acknowledged George Whitfield as the instrument of their conversion.
You know, Billy, as we've been talking about these miracles and all these people and how they preach the gospel to so many people without the use of what we have, television, radio, you know, books and all that. They had maybe some books, but not many if they did. They had Bibles. Probably not all of them had Bibles.
No, probably not.
But I've just this moment, just in this one today, thought about, I always thought about what you're saying from America's standpoint, but other nations, this broadcast is seen all over the world.
Yes.
And those people might have a tendency to say, well, that could happen in America because they've got all these things available. They've got Christian radio, Christian TV, and all that.
Right.
But this just shows to go you. Goes to show you. But they did it without that.
Without it.
I mean, they started with somebody preaching. That's
absolutely.
All it takes.
Absolutely.
Anointed
praying
preaching.
And preaching.
Isn't that awesome to think about?
He made 13 trips to America. He also preached in other places. And they were not easy trips. You had to cross the Atlantic. We're talking
months,
early days.
Probably.
1700s. Not the ocean liners that we've got today.
That's right.
Now, this young man, I'm going to read you about just exactly what you said. The physical task it was. And so he went year after year up and down the East Coast and far inland by canoe and horseback as civilization extended. Whitfield loved the frontier, and next to actually preaching, he was happiest in the saddle, seeing new terrain and new people, red and black
Jesus.
As well as white. In the summer of 1754, he wrote to his friend Charles Wesley. Now, he had been having trouble, vomitings. My wonted vomitings have left me, and though I ride whole nights,
oh, Jesus.
And have frequently been exposed to great thunders, violent lightnings, and heavy rains.
Mm-mm-mm.
As he rode, I am rather better than usual. And as far as I can judge, and as far as I can judge, I'm not yet to die. Oh, that I might at length begin to live. I am ashamed of my sloth and lukewarmness and long to be on the stretch. For God.
Mama.
It is a true mark of his spirit that George Whitfield should be ashamed of his sloth and lukewarmness. In the same year in which he preached 100 times in 6 weeks, riding the main roads and through the backwoods of New England, covering nearly, and I can't see my number here, but I think it's 10,000 miles. I don't know how many it is, but in 5 months. It is a miracle that he felt so healthy. Because even as preachers know, preaching 2 or 3 times, 4 times a day on our schedules, when we travel, we think it's a lot.
Sleeping in a comfortable bed.
Yeah, sleeping in a comfortable bed. This was the measure of how given to Christ George Whitfield was.
That is amazing.
He had cheerfully elected to go the way of the cross and counted it nothing but gain to have the privilege of taking up his cross daily. He did pay a fearful toll in health and drove himself unmercifully. No matter how sick he was, as long as he had the strength to stand and the breath to speak, he would preach and trust God to sustain him through the sermon and to provide the power and the anointing. The Lord never failed him. Friends would beg him to stay in bed, but Whitfield would have none of it. Some would say that he was not a good steward of God's gift of health, but the power of the Holy Spirit always fell on him every time he preached. And one wonders that he had not given himself up to those who urged him to take it easy. The Lord, through the preaching of this covenanted man, was uniting the 13 colonies on a level so deep that few people even realized at first what was happening. But wherever Whitfield went, he was preaching the same gospel. The same Holy Spirit was quickening his message in people's hearts. Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Episcopalians, Catholics, Quakers, Moravians, all were accepting the same Christ in the same way. as his biographer, Pollock, P-O-L-L-O-C-K, in case you want to read his biography, he was the first man to cut across denominational borders. He was also, he traveled throughout the whole of the colonies. He cut across geographical barriers. They became no more significant to him than denominational ones. They were still there, but they were inconsequential alongside the magnitude of their shared experience. They were beginning to discover a basic truth, which would be a major foundation stone of God's new nation, and which by 1776 would be declared self-evident that in the eyes of their Creator, all men were of equal value. By the sovereign act of Almighty God, and through the obedience of a few dedicated men, the body of Christ was forming in America.
Glory to God.
Though the almost universal, almost simultaneous experience of the Great Awakening, through this almost universal simultaneous experience of the Great Awakening, we began to become aware ourselves as a nation, a body of believers which had a national identity as a people chosen by God for a special purpose. That's America. The Bible
That's
says
right.
that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He didn't change his mind about America.
That's right.
Some saw that it was to be a city upon a hill, but even more, a veritable city of light in a darkened world. Mm. The pilgrims had seen it, especially Bradford. The Puritans, the Mathers, but they all died, and the vision seemed to die with them. There was a while of darkness, and when the people were scattered. But through the shared experience of coming together in large groups to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, Americans were rediscovering God's plan to join them together by His Spirit in the common cause of advancing His kingdom. Hallelujah. Bless the
Praise
Lord.
Praise God.
He drove himself so that he was a young man. Bless the Lord. He felt a tremendous urgency at the end of his life. If indeed God, and we see in studying it, the writers say, that perhaps God was requiring of him a superhuman effort to spread the light as far and quickly as possible. In 1770, his health was broken and his breathing tormented by asthma attacks. He drove himself as never before. He reached Boston on his last visit on August 15, 5 months after British troops had fired on the mob of civilians, killing five in what would become known as the Boston Massacre. So he lived. He did his job. And at the right time, the country was ready. Never had the crowds been larger, and the word was received with eagerness. He came to New Hampshire, and they begged him for a sermon, but he could barely breathe.
They were begging.
They were begging him for the word and for that anointing that came. And he prayed because he was dying. He gasped, glancing toward heaven, Lord Jesus, I'm weary in thy work, but I'm not weary of it. I've not finished my course. Let me go and speak for thee one more time in the fields and seek thy truth and come home and die. The Lord granted his request. The entire district seemed to have converged on the Exeter that Saturday afternoon. At first, Whitfield could hardly be heard, and his words were rambling as if he could not focus his mind. He stopped and stood silent. Minutes passed. Then he said, I will wait for the gracious assistance of God. For he will, I am certain, assist me once more to speak in his name. Then, according to Jonathan Parsons, the minister of Newburyport, he seemed to be rekindled by an inner fire. His voice grew strong and clear. For an hour he preached with such tremendous power, Parsons wrote. He had a sense of the incomparable excellencies of Christ that he could never say enough of him. On and on he went into the second hour, seeming to look right into heaven. He felt the pleasures of heaven in his raptured soul, which made his countenance shine like the unclouded sun.
Praise God.
Nearly 2 hours had passed when he cried, I go to rest prepared. My sun has arisen and by the aid of heaven has given light to many. It's now about to set. No, it's about to rise to the zenith of immortal glory.
So powerful.
Oh, thought divine, I shall soon be in a world where time, age, pain, and sorrow are unknown. My body fails, my spirit expands. How willingly I would ever live to preach Christ. Mm. But I die to be with him. That night, He was put to bed in the parson's home. He pulled himself out of bed early in the morning to see the dawn's early light. And George Whitfield died just as the first rays of the sun caught the waters of the bay below. The new day would break across the nation. His dream had come true. America was a nation now, one nation under God.
What a way to go.
And he told to Wesley, I'm ashamed of my slothfulness and my lukewarmness.
Mama.
And I believe that God will move upon us. He has me, is me, to examine ourselves and see if we will all hold on to him for what he told us that Sunday afternoon. One thing will save America, and one thing alone. It is an awakening to God.
Amen.
I know it is his will that we have it. But I saw as I studied that God worked through men, people, and what they gave and what were their attributes. And it's no less now.
That's
and
right.
We can have it. We can have this great awakening.
Billy, well, the Spirit of God's moving right now, so let's don't go to break. And you pray and lead all of us. I'll pray
Hallelujah.
After you. You lead us, Lord, into this
Heavenly
dedication.
Father.
Heavenly Father.
We thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you for manifesting yourself.
Thank you for manifesting yourself.
Through these people.
Through these people.
And affecting the world.
And affecting the world.
This world is not lost.
This world is not lost.
I believe that you will manifest yourself to this lost, this sighing world, this crying world.
You will manifest yourself to this crying, needy world, Lord.
Lord, touch us.
Touch us.
Tap us.
Tap us.
Manifest in us.
Manifest in us.
What you want.
What you want.
Help us to feel your deep callings.
Help us to feel your deep callings.
To respond to them.
To respond to them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And as people are there in the Ukraine, yes, and as they're there in Australia, and as they're there in Ireland.
Yes, all over the
world. Oh, Father, we thank you, for we are one under God.
Yes, and we open our hearts.
Hallelujah.
We open our hearts to hear and obey what you're telling us to do with our lives and in every situation, in Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, if there's anybody that's hearing this and they've never given their heart to you, Billy and I pray for them, and I say to you, if you've never done that, Jesus, here's all you have to do. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God is present right there to receive you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
We do
magnify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Billy and I'll be right back.
The times of the end are here. Judgments are hitting nations around the world. Choices are being made for truth and righteousness. Many in the church are sleeping, but God is calling us to wake up. He's looking for a people that will hear his voice, obey him, and change the course of America and nations around the world. Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim have selected these special resources that will get you focused, prepare you for what's ahead, and change your life. The Spiritual Awakening Package includes three unique and powerful books. 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity charts the impact of Pentecostal movements as a foundation for the future. Revival Fire chronicles the spiritual outpourings of years past. The Wake Up Call tells the end time vision of Oral Roberts, including his discussion with Kenneth Copeland and Richard Roberts. Now is the time to wake up and prepare for God's last great awakening in the earth. Order the Spiritual Awakening Package today for only $25. This package includes three dynamic books that bring insight into God's Word and are designed to assist you in your spiritual growth. Order extra copies to share with family and friends. Purchase your package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your package today.
Billy and I are stirred up over this. You can tell, and I believe you are too. Many of you, I believe, made Jesus the Lord of your life right now for the first time. And if you did that, we have books here that we will give you absolutely free. Just call or write and say, I accepted Jesus as Lord and I want that book package. Hallelujah. Now, I want to encourage you to come to the prayer meeting this fall. Mm-hmm. Billy Brim at Prayer Mountain has a prayer conference every year, and it is powerful, and the Spirit of God moves. It's in Branson, Missouri. It's the Hilton Convention Center in Branson. It's a fun place to go. Branson's a great place. But the point is, the Spirit of the Lord moves there every year. And it's a place to grow and increase, I believe, spiritually. A powerful meeting. Ken and I go every year. We've never missed one. And there are other speakers there. It's a great time of prayer and teaching. And it's a Spirit-involved, Holy Spirit-involved meeting. So we want to encourage you to come. It's going to be a great meeting. And if you want more information, go to billybrim.org. We've shared some very interesting things during this. And Billy has so ministered to me, and I know she has you too. But it gives you that desire. I want to just totally, I mean, you think you have that desire, but then God gives mm-hmm. you another boost. You think, I'm going to go further than I've ever gone mm-hmm. before spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage all of you to obey that and to get, just go for God. Many of you are called to ministry, you know it, but you've never done anything about it. This is the time to move. Hallelujah. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org to request your free salvation package today. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales. Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Center at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elk Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.